And maybe we can go around and introduce themselves. I'm officially the moderator here. I don't think I have any role in particular right now since we're not timing this too much. I'm Brian Bridgeford, and I'm actually a member of the local non-Nebraska unit, which is one of the organizers. And I was, for a long time, working for the Bearable News Republic, Wisconsin's, I understand, smallest daily paper. And I got pushed out, basically, because I wrote an article that both some people didn't like and had some petty mistakes in it, and you can't combine pissing people off and have some petty mistakes. So I was exited, although that may have been in part because they were trying to cut back. I learned this recently, they haven't replaced me, so now instead of having three reporters, they've got two actually local reporters, and then they play regional news from other members of Capital Newspapers, which of course is part of Wisconsin State Journal, the joint operating agreement of Wisconsin State Journal and the Capital Times. I remember when I first started there, we actually had three reporters and a photographer and an editor, an associate editor, and a features editor. And they basically have been, although my understanding was that for many, many years, the Bearable News Republic was one of the few papers that was actually growing in circulation and generating money for the company. And then they gradually began paring us back. First, they got rid of our photographer. So we'd always done, you know, take your own photos, but now we didn't have anybody who was specific to taking photos. And then several years ago, they got rid of an associate editor, and eventually a really good editor that I thought was somebody who would really carry the paper forward. He quit because he didn't want to have to do all the work they had to do with just an editor and a features assistant editor. And then obviously they got rid of me. They got rid of my position after I was forced out. And then fairly recently I learned they got rid of someone who, our news clerk, a very veteran person sitting in the office doing a variety of tasks, but somebody who was really a strong connection with the local community, who, for example, for reporters who had not been around there for 25 years or something, she was somebody you'd ask of, who is this person and what's their significance? And sometimes she would just know things because she was an accumulated body of information, and she was somebody that local contacts, funeral folks and others knew. So anyway, basically the theme is...
Which newspaper was that, Brian?
This is the Bearable News Republic.
So basically
the theme is cutting back on staff, trying to do more with less, and probably even accomplishing less, you know, less time for each story, you know, less time to do complexity, things like that.
So weekly?
This is the smallest
daily
paper, 6 days a week, actually. Uh-huh. So Monday through Saturday.
And it no longer publishing?
No, it's continuing. Again, the theme is that we started out with four actual, you know, people doing reporting, a photographer and three reporters and three editorial staff, you know, so you could actually, stories got read over and carefully checked for errors and things like that. And now we're down to two editors, and they've also done things with the sports, cutting back on the sports presence in the community. So the theme has been, how much can you churn enough to still get advertising and yet pay as little as possible as far as getting people out of the community writing local stuff. So I thought I would mention.
This is a local daily newspaper.
Yeah, 6 days a week.
And low power radio we have represented here, and a website.
And so what are your names?
I blog a little bit, but my name is John Spansky. I'm from DeForest, and our local weekly newspaper, the DeForest Times Tribune, allows citizens to log on as bloggers, and occasionally they publish things that we put onto our blogs, which is actually pretty nice.
So the blog is like an online presence that they give people,
yes.
And then sometimes it actually gets into print too.
Sometimes they actually print a blog posting, right? And I also blog on the Wisconsin Grassroots Network webpage. So, and sir, you?
I'm Steve Hansen. I run, well, let's see, I wear a few hats. I run a statewide political blog called Uppity Wisconsin.
What's that name again?
It's called Uppity Wisconsin.
Uppity Wisconsin.
Uppity Wisconsin. I like that. That's great.
I usually kid people that that's the dangers of buying domain names when you've been drinking, but that it actually was kind of purposeful. And I've done that for 6.5 years now. And it's a group political blog with a bunch of different writers, some of whom come and go at different times, and we're always looking for contributors. And I have kind of a real interest in journalism and where that is going and how something resembling journalism may survive the next 20 years. I have my doubts. What you're talking about is what I tend to think of as the empty box syndrome, where if you imagine any other business, where the owners of the business would say, well, you know, we're making money, but think how much more money we could make if we sold the boxes empty and didn't actually have to make product. And that'll work, right? And I think, you know, that's kind of what's happened since there's been this need to make profits that are way beyond anything that, that journalism ever considered possible before.
For just a second, your enterprise is a profit-making enterprise, though, correct? You sell advertising?
Yeah, they're a profit-making enterprise. My understanding is that for many years, possibly even up to today, it was one of the few newspapers in Wisconsin that was adding readership, and we were generating, you know, $500,000 a year profit is one figure I heard at one point.
So I interrupted, but I just wanted to clarify.
I'm also, I suspect one of the websites that the speaker was going to talk about from the synopsis is one that I am actually the web designer for, the Twin Cities Daily Planet in Minneapolis and St. Paul, which is a nonprofit news organization, which is very involved in working with neighborhoods, bringing in news stories from minority news sources in the Twin Cities, some of which have their own platform and some of which don't, and just in general kind of bringing an alternative news source to the Twin Cities area. And they're, as with most of these organizations, really, really, really struggling financially right now, and part of my job is to try to figure out ways they could actually make some money.
TCDailyPlanet.com or .org?
It's TCDailyPlanet.net, actually, is probably. All the other ones work, but they'll go to .net.
Daily Planet is a great name.
So your readership is basically the state of Wisconsin?
For my own blog, yes.
Do you have contributors to the blog other than yourself?
Oh yeah, actually a number of them are externalists, and they come and go. We typically have probably 5 or 6 people who are contributing pretty frequently at any given time. And you know, it's been an interesting experience because the last 2 years has been kind of a whirlwind with, you know, suddenly our readership during the protests spiked at about 4 times normal. And so we were getting 60, 70,000 readers a month. Now it's back down into its more normal area, although we have a little spike for elections.
And do you make any money, or do you have any fundraising aspect of it that helps cover your cost or do anything of that nature?
I look at it as a hobby. It does have an advertising revenue stream, but it's piddling. It pretty much pays for the hosting costs. So I would say, other than that period when our readership was really high, and you know, I'm hoping for more big protests. because it works for us, pretty much break even, right? Assuming that my time is worth virtually nothing.
It's a hobby, but you at least don't have to pay the cost of the hobby, you're saying?
It helps that I own a web hosting company, so it's all fine money.
And it is, do you basically get a lot of statewide political comment or articles? Like, what's the actual content like? This was trumpeted as local news, kind of like the Baraboo News Republic, of course, which is a local paper that sends people out to attend the school board and stuff like that. And that's the sort of news that we're generating specifically locally. But it sounds like yours might be something more statewide as far as just political comment? Or?
Well, yeah, it is primarily a commentary organization, not what I would think of as journalism. Most of the people who write are in Madison or Milwaukee, and most of our readers are in Madison and Milwaukee. I kind of tried to hold down my part of the state, which these days mostly means I write about the political races up there and Sandpine, because we are in Ground Zero for Sandpine.
Where are you actually
based? I live south of Menominee, Wisconsin, west of Eau Claire, if that helps.
Sand mining is a big issue.
Sand mining is a big issue up there, yes.
It is.
I've gotten probably 150 emails about sand mining while I've been here.
It is in my small organization in DeForest, is a little town just north of here.
And is there a proposed sand mine? Is it
yes,
a frack sand
right.
mine?
Well, yeah. we one thing that we do is we have a movie night every once in a while where we And we screened the movie Gasland and had a discussion afterwards, and the discussion went very well. And we actually had three people from the community. We had about 15 of our own members there, and three people who responded to, you know, the little blurb we put in the local.
Was that in the DeForest Library?
This was at our offices, which is in a little mini mall, but occasionally we use the public room in the DeForest Library for different presentation. See, my concern and why I'm here is how one of our purposes as DeForest Area Progresses is to shape the mindset of our little community, DeForest and Windsor. And one way that we just proceed in the pants. One thing we do is that occasionally we use the public. We have a very nice library. Maybe you've been to the DeForest Library.
Yeah.
And with good modern community facilities, and the library administration encourages community programming. And so on occasion, we have used the library public meeting room to promote our left-wing agenda to further our one of our organization goals of trying to influence the mindset of the community. That's kind of what I'm interested in. We cultivate a very close relationship with our local newspaper, the DeForest Times Tribune. The editor, we've got a new editor now, and he's as cooperative as our previous editor was, very cooperative. We've looked into, low power radio and cable television and website. We've got a website. But like I say, none of us is very adept at any of these things. And so, I'm glad to hear what you guys are doing.
You actually have an office, though.
We do. We have a local businessman in the town of Windsor in a mini mall, had space that he has not rented. He remains anonymous, but through his building manager, has donated commercial space to us where.
So it's rent free?
It's six rent free, right. We pay the utilities, but just by donation.
So you're a local group that's actually trying to organize a set of programs and influence people locally as for
right, and we invite candidates out, and we canvass and phone call for candidates, and but we try to engage the very local community too, in order to influence, you know, how what people know. And our big project next week is our candidates forum. We have two candidate forums at the public library, hosted by our Chamber of Commerce, ironically. But our plan, we meet every Monday evening. So last Monday evening, we set in motion our plan to influence these two candidates' meetings by feeding questions to the candidates that we back, so that they dominate the time that's allotted there. Now, it sounds conspiratorial, but maybe it is a little bit conspiratorial.
Are these like state assembly races
you're talking about? Yes, two state assembly races, and Mark Pocan and his opposition are going to be out one evening.
Do you have recordings?
We have problems in our part of the state that many of our Republican candidates will not come to any public forums.
Really? They won't come?
They will not come to anything where they will be asked questions.
Basically, they're relying upon inertia that people always like the Republicans, and so they'll continue to write Republicans, and as long as you don't say anything, it would create controversy or screw it up.
They will do things like the public forums that are on public radio on the West Side program, but they will not do anything where they are both in the same room at once.
Why is it?
Because the people ask questions and they have to answer them. It's that simple. They don't like to have to think on their feet, and they don't like to debate. And it's worked for them very well in general. So, yeah, we're seeing
it seems like
a real shortage.
Have a very uneasy relationship with democracy.
Yeah.
That's why they're autocrats and not Democrats. You know?
I wanted to ask whether does the DeForest Area Progressive make recordings of these candidate forums?
We have not, but that's excellent.
It's not hard to put an audio recording on your website.
Sure.
And then you can spread your influence beyond the people who come.
We're feeling our way along with YouTube-like
okay.
Recordings.
You make a video recording, then you can put that on YouTube.
Yeah, or you can, you're perfectly welcome to repurpose them with us, and we'd be glad to run them. This is something else that I'm working on right now. It's kind of an online community discussion system for the state. And this is my card, because we should probably talk outside of.
And when you say an online community discussion, are you saying you're trying to set up something that allows forums from different local communities so somebody can go with a local issue and interchange with people who are relatively local to whatever their community is?
The concept, since it is right now like only halfway developed, is groups either revolve around a locality or revolve around a topic. So, you know, there is a Menominee group and there is a Sandpiping group, I guess as an example of each of those. And I'm really interested in working with getting some of the kind of flailing grassroots journalism efforts around the state to actually talk to each other and share ideas and I'm pretty good friends. I don't know if any of you were at the forum yesterday with the folks from Dane 101, and we're pretty good friends, and we're thinking about trying to get together some kind of statewide organization for that purpose.
Are you familiar with the Wisconsin Grassroots Network?
That's the thing Nathan Tim is
setting
up, right? Yes, I am familiar with that.
Okay. Good. We're somewhat associated with them also.
Okay.
That's good. I'll get in touch
with
you.
That's been kind of, I think it's finally sort of on its feet now, but I know they've been
floundering for a few years with platform issues.
Do any of your groups use Facebook as a way of spreading the word about your effort? Do you have a Facebook page?
Well, there again, you know, it's kind of feeling our way along. One thing, and I'd be interested in your comments on this, is that one thing that I think I've detected as I try to learn about this is that you get people who are techies, you know, they like the technology, and they like to create websites and create all these opportunities for people to express themselves, but where's the content? You know, where are the bloggers? Where are those people responding to blogs and creating a conversation? So one thing that I think, and tell me if you've experienced this too, is that it's that, you know, you can have all the technology in the world, but if you don't have any content to put on it, it's worthless. I don't know, what are your thoughts on that? I mean, obviously all of us in this room provide some content.
Right. Well, it doesn't have to be complicated content. Like, I have a Facebook page for our congregation where I simply announce the coming week's program, Sunday morning program. And that is set up to automatically generate a tweet on Twitter whenever I post an event on the Facebook page.
I do that too. When I put a blog on Wisconsin Grassroots Network page, I'm just kind of tickled to death because I just learned this about 2 weeks ago. That, you know, it says, do you want this to go to Facebook and Twitter? Then all you got to do is click on that. Boom, it's there. You know. So yes. So just recently, I started doing that.
Yeah, that is hosted on the Nation Builder platform.
That's what ours is on. Yes.
Well, yeah. Which I've really mixed feelings about, since almost all the revenue stream comes from Republicans now. But that's just me. I have the same kind of mixed feelings about Facebook. I really wish did not need to use it, but one does.
One thing that we found was that our deforest area progressives really, really got juiced up with the recall thing. You know, we got very we found out pretty very influential in deforest Windsor area, and then we found out that our efforts going door to door and telephoning carried deforest and Windsor for Democrats and for the recall, and that energized us a lot. And so, you know, it seems to work. You know, just a little group like ours, you know, we get 15 members at our meetings regularly, but they're different too. So we get, you know, maybe 30, 35 active interested people.
Do some of them contribute to the blog?
One other person does occasionally. No, that's not true. Two or three others do occasionally. You know, like I say, our interest is in finding out how to influence the way the mindset of our community. I don't know how else to put it. You know what I mean? And I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
Well, actually, I don't believe you've introduced yourself. And I noticed that you're doing a relatively high quality recording of this, and I heard some mention that you're involved with local or like low power radio. Maybe you can say
right.
Something. It's another form of potential local news communication.
That's a potential use of low power radio. Our problem with the station is WIDELP, and we have a homemade tower sticking out of the roof of my garage, and it doesn't reach as much as we'd like. But it is in, we've got a narrow FCC-approved corridor, and we had a number of possibilities for a better location that didn't haven't panned out yet. But it can be heard on car radios 5 or 10 miles away, depending on high ground. But houses, it may only be a mile or two.
What is your frequency? You're about 2 miles away from me. What is your frequency?
It's 99.1.
99.1.
And where are you located?
Pardon?
Where are you?
Southwest Madison, it's at the, near the intersection of Hammersley Road and Whitney Way. Halfway up a hill.
Is that a significant community? Is that inside the Beltline or outside the Beltline?
It's south of the Beltline.
South of the Beltline, okay.
So have you any live streaming of the station?
Well,
radio,
we don't stream anything. Part of the reason is that half of our stuff is music, and you've got to pay connect on music. We just don't have the money to pay for streaming of music. All the talk shows are available online, not by streaming, but by going to the associated websites. You can click on the links and listen online. A lot of them are already online because I just get permission to broadcast a podcast that someone else has posted. And
do you
if
have
it's,
any interest in having those syndicated a little bit through other web properties in the state, or
could you say again?
Do you have any interest in maybe having some of those some of those files syndicated through other web properties?
Sure.
The state?
I mean,
the kind of thing we're interested in.
I'm glad to have any way of spreading the word on the web to direct people to our websites so they can listen. Like one of the programs every Saturday is the Wisconsin Democracy Report, and that has a collection of many different public meetings, including the Fighting Bob Fest and last year's Democracy Convention, some of those talks. And people can go to one place and listen online to talks by known and well-known speakers and not so well-known.
We take a lot of that sort of content and, particularly distributed on our cell phone application. So we carry like the People's Mic in Madison and several the Fighting Bob podcast and some of those sorts of things.
Right.
And tell me, how many hours a week are you in operation?
It's on the air 24/7, but only half of that time is put on by Citywide Radio, which is one of two partners that are running the station. There were a lot of applicants several years ago when this license was applied for, and the FCC said there was only one available, and we ended up sharing it 50-50 with a group called Soulwide, which is doing nothing but broadcasting music from a Christian perspective. And they're on from 10 p.m. to 10 a.m. and all day on Sunday, and we have the other times.
So basically you have two separate entities giving the same frequency and the same coverage.
Same computer broadcast.
And basically you have two fairly different sets of, but at least, you know, that gives you, when the other folks are on, is there anything that tells them about the more political stuff that goes on as far as, so basically you can promote yourself during the day hours through Saturday and.
Right, and all night on Friday. But we're thinking about applying for another license next year so that we could get our own 24 hours a day.
And you have an organizational name that you go by?
Citywide Radio, and the other is Soulwide, both using the WIDE, which are the call letters of the station. And the umbrella group that the two partners are in is called the Madison Mainstream Radio.
Mm-hmm.
If you know who Sarah Schultz is, she used to broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. She's a board member now of the Madison Mainstream Radio.
Really?
Because
I know
Norm
Sarah really well. So.
Norm Stockwell had to give up that position because he's now a staff representative to the WORT board. So.
That's Bob
92.1
FM?
99.1.
99. And so you set up as a nonprofit organization that can run this radio station. How many?
The two entities are different, actually. Soulwide is 501c3 as a, like a church, basically. And citywide doesn't have that status, but we have cooperation from the Luzier Center at the, I guess it's the Goodman Center now. They have 501c3 status, and if people want to donate to citywide, they can do it through that and get tax exempt status. But basically, we've had a couple of grants that got us started, and we've been operating for 4 years on those initial grants.
And you can broadcast anything you want?
Well, within FCC requirements, there are certain language requirements, so that I have to edit some of the files when I make recordings myself. But yeah, there's no requirement for people who are on the air to be licensed engineers or anything like that.
And do you, do you do any actual local news reporting, or is it mostly
a little bit, a little bit? There's a Saturday program called Neighborhood News at Noon, which often is not present because nobody has given us any news. But we have a neighborhood email listserv that announces things at the local library, for example. So currently, every Saturday, there's an announcement of coming events at the library. The new director is going to have a reception, that sort of thing. And there's a pie sale every year to raise money for the Friends of the Meadow Ridge Library.
Theoretically, you could like broadcast, in our case, village board meetings.
Right. We have broadcast neighborhood meetings.
Basketball?
Conceivably. I mean, there's nothing to prevent us from. We don't do any live broadcasting. We don't have a studio. Everything is broadcast from recordings on a computer in my garage. But we have broadcast recordings of, for example, the neighborhood meetings that the mayor arranged to talk about the city parks and things like that. And we have broadcast candidate forums that have been hosted by a local church or in a local meeting place.
So basically, you have some opportunity and space to go out and get information people might want to hear and make it available in another format beyond the specific event that happened.
Right. We can make recordings of local events and put them on the radio, and also then make them available on the website so that people who are outside the range or missed the program can go to the news page and listen to a past event.
And of course, how do you like that recorder you have?
I like this. In fact, Norm Sockwell has got one, and WORT has several now. He said it was his favorite piece of equipment. It's a Zoom H2 digital recorder.
I've seen them before, and I've been thinking of buying one because I'm a journalist, but I usually record meetings, and I imagine that I can probably move into, do some recording of stuff and both write from it and also, make it available. Of course, with the web, you can now put things, make things available to anybody in the world who has an internet connection through multimedia means. So
this was actually a Christmas gift several years ago, arranged by my son, who has done some film sound work in California, and he knew that they were using these in remote locations to record some sound for film. Like, you go into a car and you want some sound effects inside the car, you need a portable recorder, and this is what they use. And the advantage is it has a very low noise floor, so that when you amplify it, you don't get the hiss you do with a cheaper digital recorder.
I do a lot of stuff just on my cell phone, and that does have that problem. So and I thought occasionally about buying one of those, but
So you're saying that you can broadcast and people can, like from DeForest on my tabletop computer at home, I could tune into your radio broadcast?
Well, you couldn't, no, because we don't stream. Some low power stations do stream online, but what you could do is go to the associated web page and click on a link to listen to something that we had already broadcast or something that we were going to broadcast. It's on the list of coming programs.
Okay, as we talk, you talk like when you blog, you hit a button and it goes to your Facebook and Twitter. So this is a way of expanding your communication via the internet.
Right.
Also.
Right.
Okay.
I also use Twitter to send tweets about coming programs on the radio, and that also sometimes includes a link to where people can listen online to that particular.
Hey, it's a Drupal website. Good job.
And how many watts are you transmitting at, or are you allowed?
It's 100 watts, which is the maximum permitted for a low-power radio station. I should also mention FCC requires that it be non-commercial, so there are no commercials, no revenue like that.
And it's typically 5 to 10 miles, depending on...
Well, 5 miles, height of your antenna. The houses within 5 miles, you're doing pretty well. I think the one in Eau Claire
And that's
says,
a radius of 5 miles.
Right, right. They say 3.5 miles for their station, which is on the roof of a building in downtown Eau Claire. That's a good...
Yeah, they don't carry real well.
Right.
But the higher
but that's
you can
all,
get,
that's
the
all
better.
Idea, of
right.
course, is that you're trying to make a simple, localized, so that you could broadcast to a neighborhood or a small town or something, and the potential opportunity is that you have a way of having some local community group, or I suppose, I don't know if they're commercially oriented low power stations, but somebody who had a target audience that's in a very small geographical area can cheaply and relatively cheaply and simply provide a service, provide communications to those people.
Mm-hmm. So we've got Campbell's Hill in the village of DeForest as the highest point.
Mm-hmm.
So you would want to get like in the highest, Christ
put it on the roof of the tallest building on the top of the hill.
Christ Lutheran Church in downtown DeForest has a tall steeple. So something like that.
Well, that might be controversial if you put an antenna on top of the steeple.
But anyway, to
you have the only cross-shaped antenna.
Yeah.
But it is a very lightweight antenna. I mean, I could put it on one finger and balance it.
Okay. So it's easy to locate if you can find a stable high point.
Right.
Get it up there. Right. Is what you're saying.
Now the weight comes more from the coaxial cable you run down from the antenna.
Well, one thing we've talked about in terms of low power local radio is like a local call-in talk show.
Mm-hmm. That's certainly doable. It costs more to get set up with phones and that sort of thing, unless you do it through Skype.
And another thing you could think about would be doing something like a blog talk radio show, which would just be on the internet. Sarah Schultz did hers for some time. And a friend of mine did one every day during the protests in Madison, which neither of us, one morning on the show, we just both sort of said, I can't do this anymore. We quit, but that's nice, and you can do call-ins, and it's either free or quite inexpensive, depending on which plan you get.
Right.
We've done that some time.
Say that to me again, what you just said. This is going via Skype?
Well, it's
internet
called Blog Talk Radio. It all happens typically via telephone. You can use Skype, but it's not essential. You can just do it all on plain old telephones. And you can do call-ins. You really want the paid plan if you're going to do call-ins, because although you can do call-ins on the free plan, you can't screen callers. And so it works best if you have two people, somebody as a host, somebody as a screener. It's actually pretty slick now. You can upload, if you've got like audio files from today, you can upload those and use them as part of your show stream. It's fairly slick, but it's all internet based, so people have to one way or another listen to it on the internet. We send them up to our cell phone app also. I actually wrote the cell phone app for Sarah's show.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Which is, of course, not getting much use now. So.
All right. Well, maybe you could do the same for Fighting Bob Radio.
Well, we carry Fighting Bob on our cell phone app, so.
You do?
You can just.
So this is webcasting. It's a live webcast program where people can call in and be on the air, and they can also plug in segments that are pre-recorded and use that as part of their show.
Webcast is the term.
They call it radio, but it's really only on the internet, and unless it's picked up by a station such as this. And Sarah Schultz show was carried when it ended on three different low power radio stations.
Okay, so you would not pick this up like on your car radio or, you know, any portable radio or something. You'd have to be have some kind of an internet connected device.
Right.
A laptop, right. A desktop.
Now, what Blog Talk Radio provides is an RSS feed, which means that a radio station such as ours can automatically have the program downloaded to the station computer, and it can be automatically broadcast at a later time. Mm-hmm. So that, like the station in Eau Claire that was doing it automatically, so they could just say hands off. And if there was a problem with the Sarah Schultz show, it got broadcast as well.
So this is Fighting Bob Fest broadcast from this week.
At the end of this past Thursday, they mentioned the radio station because we're now carrying them.
Yeah, and we just repurposed their RSS feeds of the shows. And well, it's a little more complicated than that, but it goes through and gets processed and shows up on people's cell phones. And we've got 500-600 people carrying that app around, so last I looked.
So someone could listen on their cell phone and call in at the same time while it was live on the web?
No, it doesn't. It's not streamed. Ah. It's only the archives, so it becomes available 15 minutes after the show's broadcast. But now, if you want to do that, you kind of have to go to the radio, to the station's website, and stream it from there. You know, this is more for archival purposes.
Programs are archived by Blog Talk Radio, so if you were to do this, then people would be able to go to the website and listen to previous programs as well as the tuning in for the live webcast.
What's the website?
Blogtalkradio.com, I think. Sorry.
There are a couple of those sorts of systems, but I think it's probably the most commonly used one.
There's another one called Web Radio, I think.
Yeah, Blog Talk Radio is the only one I've personally used.
Webcast, web radio.
.com.
Does Citywide Radio have a website?
Yeah. The easiest web address is wiedelp.org.
Say that again?
Wiedelp. .org.
WIDET?
Just WIDE. Okay. LP, all six letters.
There it is.
Yep, there it is. .org. And if you click on the talk shows link, then it gives you a page with links to all the talk shows that are on Citywide Radio.
I'm going to go to the men's room and I'll be right back, but I want to ask all of you guys just for an open-ended discussion on, you know, I want to, my group wants to influence a few thousand people locally. You know, we want to just be very narrowly focused like that. What's your advice on how to use, you know, local newspaper, you know, and stuff like that? Let me go to the bathroom and I'll be back and I'll ask you guys to just brainstorm some advice, if you will.
You know Blue Cheddar?
Yes, in fact, she's my fault pretty much.
Your fault?
Yeah, I think her boyfriend once said to me that I ruined her.
Got her into blogging?
I have run a yearly, more or less, conference called Netroots Wisconsin, which is the Wisconsin Regional Conference of Netroots Nation. And Carol went to the one 2 years ago, and we met, and she got all like inspired about the idea of blogging, and that's kind of where it started. And she's been at that for 2 years now. So yeah, we're actually pretty good friends.
I get her, I see her on Facebook all the time because I'm one of her friends.
Yeah, I don't know how Carol, I know she's saying she's going to get a job again, so.
Then she won't have time to do so much
kind
more.
Kind of a sore point in her personal life, I think, so.
It helps to be unemployed or retired if you want to spend a lot of time on this sort of thing.
Yeah, I'm finding, you know, unfortunately my business is actually doing fairly well now, so I'm finding it harder and harder to find time to do anything else. I'm running in one person, well, a more or less one person web development shop is just like exhausting, so.
What would you recommend as other progressive blog sites that deal with Wisconsin issues?
Oh, golly. If you want to know anything about what's going on with Walkergate or, you know, the trials going on of Walker's associates, you've got to read Cognitive Dissidence or Capri's blog down in Milwaukee. Is constantly on top of that stuff. Should read Carol's blog, which I heard. That's not real prolific, but it's kind of interesting. I don't know, let's see. Should read mine. who else is doing really interesting work these days? There are so many of them, and I pretty much read all of them, so it's. And we do carry a blog roll on Uppity Wisconsin that's automated and pulls in headlines from various blogs around the street. I just got an email from somebody who wants to get included in there. So that's a good way, or actually, most of the blogs carry some sort of blog roll to other sites.
So people go to Uppity Wisconsin and there's a link to all these other.
Yeah, there's a little big blue box that has all of the most recent headlines from all the other, mm-hmm. or from a lot of the other progressive blogs in the state.
In terms of local, one thing that we do in our neighborhood is there's a neighborhood Yahoo group, Listserv, and people are always exchanging emails about sighting a fox or car got broken into or really very local things. And there's a local newsletter put out by the Neighborhood Association also that comes out, I think, quarterly.
What is that, Meadowoods?
No, I'm in Orchard Ridge. Meadowood is another neighborhood farther south. And I've been contacted occasionally by the president of the Meadowood Neighborhood Association about, do I want to record such and such a public meeting?
Midville Heights. Cause you're about a block south, and I'm about a block, I mean, mile south, and about a mile north of the Whitney Beltline interchange.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm less than a mile south of you.
Less than a mile? Yeah. Yeah, well. Yeah. Well, I'm a mile.
And City of Madison.
I'm over by Seagull.
Most of the City of Madison is broken up into neighborhoods. That the city website will tell you which neighborhood association you're within the boundaries of if you don't know one. And then they each have their own website.
So there's some potential for localized interaction on issues that have local purpose and are local concern mm-hmm. in some organized way, although I suppose there's always a risk that the people who are actually in the organization won't agree with a concern that one of their fellow neighborhood members has, but this probably creates a forum for communication.
They're probably in the same city council district, though. Who's our alder person, you know?
City.
It used to be that controversial and that conservative.
Brian Solomon is now our alder person because there was a redistricting.
Right.
It didn't used to be, but we got a notice from him. You're all the person now, and I know him.
Oh.
But it probably doesn't.
Maybe I'm in a different one.
Yeah.
We have good relationships with our local weekly newspaper, and our editor, and our two reporters. How can we use them?
I don't know, do you write letters?
We do, but not as much as we should.
Yeah, because I know in Baraboo, when there have been controversial issues, like during the fight over trying to reverse Act 10, you know, the cutback on the rights of government workers, one of the areas where there was a lot of tumult that I think would have an influence on at least that portion of the community that pays attention. I don't know what's our leadership. You know, the DeForest paper has, but obviously a lot of people who don't read newspapers, but I think one of the things that allowed progressives to have some impact in Baraboo community was that we had some energetic letter writers. And there was both progressive and very conservative letter writers, but there was at least regular tumult, you know, people getting in there and trying to make cohesive statements, you know, so you had a presence in the letters column, and obviously there are people who read that and pay attention to it, again, probably minority. So, you know, the more you can produce material, I don't know how regular your blog is, but obviously you can arrange to get a weekly column. Obviously you have to have the will to write it and the feeling that I have stuff that's relevant to local readers that I can fill, but obviously, you know, you can get the guy to read the column and have it filled, or maybe your group could do a weekly column and have different people write week to week, so one person would have to do it. But I mean, that's a way to use, you know, the DeForest Times as a way to make your presence known and have some influence. Obviously, whenever you have events, you know, you try and get the local reporters there. You know, give them plenty of warning ahead of time, and then bug them in the days leading up to it, things like that.
I wouldn't underestimate the power of letters to the editor. It is, in our local biweekly paper, about the only thing people read. Mostly because the rest of the newspaper is so lame. I thought it was interesting. I was talking to one of the state assembly candidates the other day, and he had an event for his campaign. It was actually a rifle range shoot, because he's a gun guy, but he's a Democrat, and which always, you know, confuses people. But he wanted to put it in the community calendar in our local paper, and they refused to put it in because his Republican opponent was not having a gun shoot, and it would be unfair to give him to put it in their calendar. So I was just kind of flummoxed by this, but that's you know, the kind of thing. But they'll put in any letter to the editor, no matter how crazy.
Well, then he should have written a letter to the editor, lambasting the paper, refusing to put his event in, and then mentioning what it is. So maybe you'd have a way of...
Yeah, well, unfortunately, it's all... That was a month ago,
yeah.
So...
But, you know, I guess the more...
At a conference in Florida, Peace Economics Conference in Miami, St. Thomas University, on the sort of the northern beltline of Miami. They sent 18 notices to the Miami Herald, and they wouldn't list a single thing about this conference going on. So, but things have gone downhill. I remember in 1980, and I started getting politically active, just in that decade, we had regular coverage in Eugene, Oregon at there's Demo Forum, Labor Forum, Republican Roundtable, and Rubic, and the moderate Republicans, which may no longer exist, the Rubicon Society. I've got to go back and find out what's happened to Rubicon. That'd be a story. There are four groups, and there's a radio station that would regularly cover all of them. And then, you know, by the end of the decade, we weren't at any of them. Yeah, things have gone downhill.
The fact of the matter is, you know, most newspapers don't anymore have the staff or ability to do that sort of thing, even if they wanted to. And a lot of times they do want to. I mean, honestly, I think that's the case. But I mean, we have two local newspapers. We have
the. But they take a report from a citizen, you know. I mean, you know, like you say, letter to editor. But what, if you send in a report about your event or something, with, is it something that they could gobble up?
Our local editor has a small cabal of buddies that she's very willing to take this sort of thing from, and nobody else. And I, although I am friends with some of those friends, I'm not one of those people, so it's interesting. And they also have a very small news space anyway in the paper. The news hole is tiny, and you know, there's very little actual content because they can't afford it. And so we have two newspapers. We have the biweekly county newspaper, and then there's the Eau Claire paper. I live 30 or so miles from Eau Claire, and I cannot get the Eau Claire paper because they will no longer distribute it that far away. They will let me buy it online, but
what are your remarks on local weekly newspapers? Our seems to be, you know, pretty vigorous. What I'm hearing here is that we as a local group should seize the opportunity because we do have the ear of our...
You should seize the opportunity. I think most definitely.
I think
we have to a certain extent, but it sounds to me like we could really exploit this far more than we do.
Well, you know, they, depending upon what kind of local control there is, you know, whether if your editor is really the person who's in charge, I don't know, is
it, they it's owned by Hometown News, which is a pretty right-wing
and it might be that they don't particularly care what he does as long as he gets the paper out.
That's what we've been told. Money. Is that editorial policy is pretty much left
local. So basically, you know, push... Use what resources you have to take advantage of whatever space in the paper you can fill, because like, one of the things they probably want is stuff to fill the paper, and also you know, stuff that may generate some drama or interest. So any opportunity you have to generate some controversy may be something that will get them selling more papers, which they would like, and obviously get you have a presence in the community and get heard.
So a lot of papers allow guest editorials from time to time. So it's more than just a letter to the editor. You're the author of something that they print as a guest editorial.
And again, sometimes you can get a space, a weekly, in the Bear Book paper. We had a regular set of weekly conservative and liberal, or even progressive, people who had regular columns on a weekly basis or more, and it's just a matter of, again, you know, one option might be to see if you can get it in the name of your group as a local group with a viewpoint, and then, you know, rotate duties of writing, and obviously you want to try and write something that's relevant locally and interesting, and you know, hopefully well thought out and written, so that takes some work on your part or on the group's part, but, you know. You know, pry what space you can from the local resource.
And that may be a way to keep small newspapers alive if a local group or two or something like that does things like that. It may juice up. And when I left Eugene, Oregon, you know, the guy wouldn't take my letters to the editor anymore, but he said he looked forward to them at the time, you know, that he limited to you to once a month, a letter to the editor. Eugene Menchegard was an award-winning newspaper, really a top-notch newspaper. But he looked forward to those once-a-month letters to the editor, because I guess he knew that they had an interesting letter and that people would read them and enjoy them and so forth.
Well, that's the thing, that's the reason that the Baraboo News Republic has done as well as it had, you know, at the time when I left. And I don't know, again, they're reducing their reporting staff, reducing the content that's really local, so we'll see how they do over long term. But essentially, the thing that kept it alive was dealing with local issues, getting local people's voices in the paper, going to local meetings and reporting on them, getting out and getting local photos. But there is, basically, Baraboo is a community of substantial size with its own character that's far enough outside of the Madison metro area that Madison newspaper and radio television don't cover a whole lot. In the case of Baraboo, unfortunately, our local radios did not do a whole lot of news. So if people were going to get local news and content and local commentary, the Baraboo News Republic was the main place they were going to get it. Now there's been some growth of online capacity. You know, there are Baraboo, like there's the thing called Baraboo Scanner, which is basically, you know, reporting on things they hear on police scanners and stuff. But there's not really a local comprehensive news online at this point. So the newspaper, the physical paper, was what did it. And it might be for your area, is that for local comment, for you getting yourself, your information and views out to that community there, that the DeForest Weekly is going to be one of the main ways you do it, if you can pry more space out of them.
I get the impression that there is a fairly substantial loyal readership. So we can have an influence, I think, through our weekly newspaper.
Mm-hmm. I think we're supposed to be done now, aren't we?
Officially, we're done.